Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Well, congratulations, folks. You are now part of the most photographed generation in all of history. In fact, with every store that you waltz into and every intersection that you skate through and every ATM that you access and every family party that you choose to attend, more and more pictures of your beautiful mug are being snapped, saved, and then uploaded to some offshore server somewhere. Everybody say, cheeseburger! But if the truth be told, the greatest culprit in our photo-obsessed society isn't Big Brother watching, or Aunt Linda with her camera. It's actually us. Like many people these days, it is the selfie that has become a regular part of our everyday existence. It is that ubiquitous act of using our smartphones that we have to snap a picture of ourselves, usually for the sole purpose of sharing it then on social media. And many of us do it all the time. A slow day at work? Well, then snap a quick picture of yourself to show the world how cool you really are, even when numbed by boredom while you are sitting behind your desk. Or wanting to purchase a new pair of sunglasses? Well, then take some shots of yourself rocking out in a few different pairs and then post them in order to get instant feedback from your friends. Or you've just cooked this amazing meal. Well, don't just take a picture of the food anymore. Snap a selfie with that food and show the world what they would be enjoying if they were along for the ride. Namely, your face. Now, I'm sure that more could probably be said about the infatuation that we have in this culture with selfies and how it is tied to a larger issue in our culture of self-absorption. But I will save that actually for a sermon some other day. However, in today's second reading that we have from Paul's letter to the Romans, what we're seeing here is nothing less than a selfie of his own. It is a snapshot of him in papyrus and ink, and of how the apostle sees himself. And he's not showing off here some new haircut to us with pride, or posting with a group of friends at some killer party. Paul is giving us a snapshot of himself that is raw, that is unfiltered, and at the very least, we might say, deeply unflattering. So Paul is looking at himself here and saying, dude, I am a mess. In fact, he writes it this way, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that is what I keep on doing." Paul's selfie reveals a man who feels tossed back and forth between what he sees as these two forces that are work within his heart and his mind. Paul knows that he is in Christ and that he is a new creation, no longer defined by that which is corrupt in him. And yet at the same time, deeply rooted within him, remains that power of sin. It resides right there in his flesh and in his bones, rearing its ugly head and drawing him away from the new path on which God has now placed him. Now keep in mind here, Paul is no newbie to the Christian faith. In fact, according to most estimates, when he wrote this letter to the Romans, he had been following Jesus for around 25 years. So Paul's selfie here reveals that he is, despite, we might say, the gray hair on his head and the lines of wisdom that we find in his face, still simul justus ec praecator. In other words, simultaneously a saint and sinner. And he is righteous in the eyes of God because of Christ, yet broken to the core because of his sin. Now there's this old Native American tale, one I'm sure you have heard at some point or another, that reminds, I think, us of this same truth. The Cherokee grandfather once said to his grandson, "There is a battle that is taking place between two wolves inside all of us. One of these wolves is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, and ego. The other wolf is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth." Well, the boy thought about this for a minute, and then he asked, "Grandfather, which of these wolves wins?" To which the old man replied, "The one you choose to feed." Paul, I think, would agree with this. The honesty of Paul's self-portrait, I think, is quite jarring, especially when held in contrast to the kind of selfies that we are so often indulged in taking. If we are honest, we too have to admit that when we snap a picture of ourselves, we do so in the most flattering light that is possible. In fact, most of our cameras are now with us all of the time, and they allow us to instantly do do-overs if we need to. In fact, many of our smartphones these days come along with a treasure trove of editing software options, from cropping to filters to retouching, all of these things within just the palm of our hands. And this has empowered us then to not only shift the focus to ourselves, but to pose and posture and present a particular kind of self-portrait to the rest of the world. So if we want to be seen as that girl with the pouty lips, or the buff guy who is always flexing at the gym, or the fun friend who is always doing something wild and crazy and having lots of fun, well, then we can do that. And no one will know, will ever see anything else, at least not on our Instagram feeds. And yet Paul knew that there is power in the unfiltered assessment of life. There's power for the followers of Jesus in the no makeup, harshly lit selfie that shows every line and every wrinkle that we have. This power, of course, comes in the fact that the more honest we are assessing ourselves and admitting our deep brokenness, then the more heroic, the more grace-filled and generous Jesus looks. One cannot understand the true heights of God's love until we are also able to grasp that radical depth of our own sin. Paul understood this. Paul knew that by staring at his unflattering selfie, he was less likely to be fooled by the facade of awesomeness that he and so many other human beings often present to the rest of the world. And not only was this good, you see, for Paul, but Paul, in writing this as well to the church at Rome, knew that his own transparency would also be something good for God's people as well. So when it comes to the act of taking selfies, there are certainly things for us to keep in mind. Like those times when it is well and good, and times when putting the focus on ourself is not appropriate. In light of Paul's unflattering self-portrait that we find here at the end of chapter 7, the words that kick off chapter 8 are unbelievably generous and comforting. Paul goes on, you see, to write, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So this morning, let's think about this. No matter how unflattering the image of us might be, no matter how strong the forces are that pull us, like Paul, off that path of righteousness, God refuses to reject us. Therefore, go ahead, hit the camera icon on your phone, and show God your worst. God promises that for those of us who have been covered in the goodness of Jesus and have been injected by the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be no words of condemnation. You may disgust yourself, but God, on account of Christ, will neither delete your pics, nor will God kick you out of the family. God will continue to call you daughters and sons. So remember, no matter what that picture shows, the good us, the bad us, the super cute us, or the surprisingly ugly us, because of Christ, there is no rejection for us, and there is a better, more powerful force at work within us. Therefore, may you choose to feed the better wolf. And may you also deepen the joy you and others have in Jesus by being willing, both personally and also publicly, to embrace the truth of your unflattering and unlovable self. Amen.